The short gospel reading for this morning, the account of Mary and Martha, is really a pretty well-known story. I would say that most people have at least a passing familiarity with it, and maybe even some of us have been labeled a Martha at one time or another. And though brief, even just those five verses, the story is deceptive in its depth. And it also holds an interesting position in Luke's gospel, position between the well-known parable of the Good Samaritan and the teaching, Jesus teaching his disciples and us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Its position between these two important teachings should clue us in that there is really more to this story, more than meets the eye, and that we really shouldn't dismiss the story of Mary and Martha too quickly. On the surface, it seems that the overachieving Martha really gets a bum deal in the narrative. Jesus, traveling towards Jerusalem in the day of his crucifixion, stops by the village of Bethany to visit the two sisters. Mary gets to sit at Jesus' feet, absorbing all the stories and the teachings of the Master, while Martha, wanting to be the good hostess, rushes around preparing their meal. In the commentaries that I've read, the opinion of how many Martha was preparing food for ranged greatly. In some of them, it was just the three of them, or possibly four if Lazarus was home, though he isn't mentioned in the story. Some scholars say it was Jesus and his disciples. So Martha could have been cooking for upwards of maybe 15 or 20 people. However, earlier in chapter 10, Luke wrote about the 72 who were appointed and sent out and then returned, rejoicing that even the demons were subject to them in his name. Some scholars believe that this group could have been included with them also. So the number is now reaching upwards of 100 people. Now, I don't think any one of us would like to have 100 people dropping by our house unannounced looking for something to eat. And in first century Bethany, they didn't have a local Kroger they could run to and grab some burgers and hot dogs. They didn't have dual ovens or microwaves, or DoorDash or Grubhub. Martha would have been in the back plucking chickens by hand, or like in the Genesis account for today, killing the fattened calf, or calves in this case, and baking bread on a hot rock. You know what? Maybe she had the right to be flustered and want help. Am I right? But when I read the passage and I looked at the language, I believe it to be Jesus alone that goes to Mary and Martha's house, though the argument could be made that the disciples may have been with him. The number of guests certainly isn't the issue here. But to be fair, this section is about hospitality, but not in the way that you may be thinking. Martha is doing her very best to be a generous host, to provide the best experience that she can. As the elder sister, she received Jesus into her house. She takes on the responsibility of hospitality as she makes herself busy preparing a meal for her guest. Martha's hospitality becomes such a burden that she even confronts Jesus, putting words in his mouth. "Tell her then to help me," she says. You can hear the frustration in Martha's voice. But isn't she doing the proper thing? Showing hospitality to Jesus, who has no place to lay his head? And by receiving Jesus, isn't she receiving the one who sent the Son of Man into the world to save the world? Isn't she doing the right thing? Many of us, deep down, sympathize with Martha. We have been in those situations. We have been the ones working hard for Jesus while others were doing less so. That's what's expected of us Christians, right? Jesus himself tells us in Luke 8:21 that his mothers and brothers are those that hear the word of God and do it. The verses before these in Luke chapter 10 are about the Good Samaritan And the parable is definitely about caring and doing things for our neighbor. And in caring for our neighbor, we are doing things for our Lord, right? So how are we to understand Jesus' response to Martha's request to get her sister to help her? But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Jesus, repeating Martha's name twice, showed that he loved and cared for her deeply. And Martha was not wrong in wanting to care for Jesus. But her wanting to be a great host got in the way of real hospitality. She was distracted by many things, Jesus said, pulled in many directions. The better service for Martha would have been to receive Jesus and his gifts, to provide less of a meal but provide more attention to Jesus. Martha should have let Jesus serve her first. Art Just, in his commentary on Luke, sums it up with this statement. Martha made the mistake of thinking that she was the host and Jesus was the guest. I'll read that again because it really twists things around. Martha made the mistake of thinking that she was the host and that Jesus was the guest. With the roles reversed, Jesus was the one who would serve. Jesus was helping Mary, giving her the word of life, serving up the kingdom of heaven as she sat at his feet. Jesus was dishing up the one thing needful, while Martha toiled over the many things that were of secondary importance. The real issue here is whether one is to serve the Lord first or first be served by the Lord. While eating is important, it's certainly not the most important. To receive Jesus into your home, the most fundamental part of hospitality is to receive and hear his message, the preaching of the kingdom. As the narrative showed, Mary understood true and greater hospitality. Mary has chosen the good portion, sitting and learning at the feet of Jesus. Martha's hospitality got caught up in her service to the Lord, which turned the focus back on herself. Both sisters showed hospitality, and both are needful as they complement each other. But the narrative is about priority and extremes. When one aspect of hospitality is taken to the extreme, it tends to eliminate the other. It put things out of balance, and then the focus is taken off Jesus and refocused on self. And when the priority is service to the exclusion of hearing the word, again, the focus is taken off of Jesus and refocused on self. The narrative of Mary and Martha then is really an example of proper approach to worship and life. Mary has the proper worship theology. Art Just writes, "Mary sits at the feet of Jesus to receive divine service from him. Instead of trying to serve Jesus first, she allows Jesus first to serve her with his gifts. Hospitality to the Lord is first expressed in face passive acceptance of God's word, where the gifts of God's kingdom will be found. After receiving the gifts, there will be time for an expression of hospitality in response. But first must come the reception by faith of the preaching of the kingdom." Mary had it right. Let God serve you first. But he can't stop there. We can't just be listeners either. There is work in the kingdom that must be done. We must be a proper mixture of both Mary and Martha. And this is why this little story fits so well where it does, between the parable of the Good Samaritan and the Lord's Prayer. The parable aptly tells us that we are to serve our neighbor and not walk by on the other side. And there are a lot of neighbors that need help. And that's why we need to know how to pray. There is a lot to be done. But like I told the kids, we need to stop, look, and listen. We may have a busload of things to do. Our own kids may need to go here, there, and everywhere. It may seem like we never have a spare moment to ourselves. It is exactly then that we need to stop what we are doing, look to the Savior, and listen to what he has to say to us. When we get too busy to listen to Jesus, too busy to feed on his word, our focus has shifted from him to ourselves. Too busy being the host and Jesus being the guest. And we must not forget to pray. Martin Luther is credited with saying, "I have so much to do that if I didn't spend at least 3 hours in prayer a day, I would never get it all done." Stop, look, and listen. This is especially important on Sunday mornings. Sure, there's a lot of things that need to be done before you ever set foot in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning. And for most of us, the list from Saturday was never completed. And Monday is right around the corner. And if you are an usher, a lector, Sunday school teacher, host of the coffee hour, money counter, elder, communion prep person, and even pastor, or the many other jobs that happen every Sunday morning, it's no wonder you're distracted in serving. And I'm not telling our Marthas to stop. What I'm saying is that there needs to be a proper balance. Stop so that you can serve. Let Christ serve you first on Sunday mornings. Let Christ be the host. Let Jesus serve you first so that you can see the sign of the cross and hear him pronounce the forgiveness of your sins. Stop thinking about your to-do list and see the written word and hear it read to you. Put your afternoon plans on hold as you see the pastor preach his message to you and hear God's word explained from the pulpit. Give your cares to God as you write them on the green cards and hear them lifted up to the Father. May your real hunger be satisfied as you taste and see that the Lord is good in the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you see the sign of the cross and hear the words of the benediction, may you go on your way and into the new week, equal parts Mary and Martha, refreshed, re-energized, equipped, because you took the time to stop, look, and listen, and be served by your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying to you is this: no matter how busy you are, no matter what's on your plate, no matter how noble the task is, take the time to sit at the Master's feet with Mary and be fed with the word of life. Stop, look, listen, and then serve the Master with Martha as you care for your family and for your fellow man. And to God be the glory. Amen.